Now entering Nerdist.com.
Big Pop Fun.
Welcome to another episode of Big Pop Fun with Tom Wilson, the westernmost podcast in the USA. If you don't count podcasts made in Woodland Hills, Calabasas, or Malibu, because after that, it's just ocean. Here's Tom.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Big Pop Fun Podcast. I'm Tom Wilson, and I'm talking to you from my car, and we're going to see if this works, because I'm on my way to an evening out here, and I'm going to put that on the podcast as well. Welcome back for those of you who've listened to a bunch of podcasts, and hey, if you're new, welcome to the podcast. I'm usually not in the rain in my car driving on the streets of Los Angeles to a gig, but hey, what the heck, I'm going to a thing, so I decided to try to record this, and hey, well, I hope it sounds good. The plan, quote unquote, is to record this thing tonight that I'm doing, a storytelling evening that I'll describe in a little while, just live and just put it up. So I haven't rehearsed this thing. I'm going to go and tell a couple of stories in an evening, and we'll just, my plan is to just put it up and grit my teeth and not edit it or overly apologize for it beforehand, but let me apologize beforehand. But welcome to another episode of the Big Pop Fun Podcast, a magical sleigh ride of entertainment and wonder as Tom slows the car down a little bit because it is starting to rain here. And I'm putting on the windshield wipers, and that is, rain in Los Angeles, as I'm sure you've heard. It's like one of those movies where aliens are attacking in a giant robotic machine the size of Detroit, and we need Emilio Estevez to save us all or something, because I think he's hot right now. It's rain. I will give Los Angeles credit, because as some of you might have heard, it's so dry in Los Angeles that the oil from cars kind of leaks out of the cars and puts a sheen over the road, so that when it rains just a little bit, boy, those roads do get slippery. But I think before the first raindrop falls, people start just doing donuts on purpose and just spinning their cars. I think some of them have thrusters on the rear wheels that just makes the car spin. My podcast is brought to you, as it always is, even in my car in the rain. It's brought to you by art, and I hope you're out there either painting a picture of Tom in his car in the rain, or writing a song about it or something. Support your local artist. Support the arts by buying art. Buy a little painting. Buy something that somebody made with their own hands, because hey, as it all becomes robots and Emilio Estevez saving us, let's just support each other, huh? People trying to make stuff and do stuff and creating things that weren't there before. I really do still find it miraculous. A song, a painting, a story, and anything, something that wasn't there a few moments ago and now exists. It's a beautiful thing. Also brought to you by my book, The Masked Man. If you haven't read it, come on, get out there and download The Masked Man. It's doing pretty well, I think. It's on the top 100. I used to say the top 10 because it was on the top 10. Now it's in the top 100 of comedy books on at the iPad store, the Kindle store. So go check that out. Thanks. I'm headed to this gig. In the beginning of my career, and I think everyone's career who performs, it's a lot of open mics. It's a lot of unusual performing opportunities. When I was in New York, there was Good Times Cafe and the East Side Club. Many, many smaller places. In Philadelphia, there were a million coffee houses. The London Pub, there were a lot of them. And myself and a number of performers would go to them all the time. My friend, the legendary Wid, was usually there. Wid, check him out on YouTube, would you? Wid is an American treasure, a prop comedian. Before a lot of guys were doing props, Wid was doing a truckload, a huge step van full of props. And he's, but anyway, Wid and I would do these gigs. And at the gigs, at the most sort of fundamental gigs, the light bulb and the microphone, I think, are some of the most thrilling performing experiences I've had and I've seen. Now, of course, when you're a young person, you're 19, as I was when I was really starting out, or 22 or whatever, you see a lot of things. You see both the person who clearly is making a way for themselves within the performing artist community, and you see a lot of people who you probably feel will be making their way out of the performing artist community within a pretty short period of time, unless they have an amazing, amazing perseverance. And you know what? Some do. Some have. I've seen them work for years and years, with everyone in the back of the room wincing and speaking charitably but pitifully about them to their friends. Oh, isn't that a shame? She just keeps trying. And they've gone and done it. They've actually, it's a period of years, but the perseverance has actually paid off, and they've ended up to, I've seen people on The Tonight Show that I couldn't believe my eyes. So, and look, the fact is, I was probably one of those. I've approached it all. I've approached the arts like the kid who just keeps coming to practice and get his clock cleaned, but really wanting to do it that bad that someone finally says, okay, well, here's how you do it, and starts teaching me how. But anyway, we were going to these clubs where, and these coffee houses, where people would go up and tell a story or try to sing a song, and burst into tears. Just being in front of people and just being unable to finish, or just running from the stage, or if the early heckling. I mean, we're talking about places with 8 folding chairs, but a heckler and a fist fight happens because they're just not used to being heckled or whatever, and they just come off the stage. I don't have any heckler comeback lines, so let's fight. And I don't mean to cast The Evening Tonight as anything like those, but it is at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater in Los Angeles, which is, well, it's doing very well now here in Los Angeles and in New York City. But it began, it really, because I went there early for a few shows, and it was almost the light bulb and microphone kind of place, with improv groups and sketches and stand-up and storytelling and all that kind of stuff. And as I've told you before on the podcast, Meltdown Comics on Sunset Boulevard, right there in the heart of Hollywood, same thing. It's the back of a comic store. They put up folding chairs, and now it's really the hottest show in L.A. And I've told you that before, but if you have a chance to go to the Meltdown on Wednesday nights, do it, with Comel and Jonah Ray. Jonah was recently on the podcast, and Comel, I hope will be soon. But these are the kind of places that I really love performing at. My point being, I'm headed to the UCB Theater, the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater, it's raining harder, in L.A., in Hollywood, and I'm doing, D.C. Pearson was on the podcast recently, and he is, it's coming down for a second. Sorry about that. Concentrate on driving, Tom. But D.C. was on the podcast recently, and he has a new book coming out called Crap Kingdom, that he's having a party for the release of his book, and he's asked people who were involved in high school theater, I was certainly one of those, to tell stories, a couple stories, maybe 10 minutes, about a couple of high school theater experiences. So a few people are going, DC will do it and read from his book. Jillian Jacobs from Community, I think, yes, from Community is going to be there. Rich Summer, I believe he's on Mad Men. Anthony King, a writer at DC, and myself. So that's another one of my long intros to say it's I think the most fundamental sort of performing. And Charlton Heston always used to joke that that acting, this kind of storytelling, they say that prostitution is the world's oldest profession. But really, it was probably hunter, that's oldest, And second is actor and storyteller, because around the fire, there would be people telling stories of the hunt. So these are some of my stories from the hunt, and I'm almost there, and I may very well just put it on. I'm sure there will be mistakes. I'm sure there will be some hemming and hawing, but it's an evening of storytelling at the UCB Theater in Los Angeles. I hope you enjoy it, and stick around, because afterwards I may just sing a song. I'll see you in a minute.
It's Tom Wilson, the host of the show.
Man, that's like a magical realist memoir. He has an amazing podcast called Big Pop Fun, which I highly recommend, because he is a fantastic interviewer and just a wonderful guy. And we're very lucky to have him. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Tom Wilson.
Good evening. Let me move this. I myself am from Pennsylvania. I didn't go to the Governor's School for the Arts. I'm glad it closed. Let's get something straight. I was not in drama club. I was a member of the Radnor Actors Workshop. It all began when I got fired from the Crucible. I'm from Philadelphia. I grew up.
Pick that up with Radnor,
right? I'm so glad you enjoyed the Governor's School. I was sick from school a lot. I had asthma. I was in the hospital all the time. I was absent for 2 years out of the 4 years of high school. I'm not kidding. All I did was kind of read books and stay at home and watch Match Game 75. But I was about a quarter mile. I lived a quarter mile from the campus at Villanova University. Villanova had a very, very burgeoning, like you were talking about, in Philadelphia. Philadelphia's an hour and a half from New York. And it's like all this experimental stuff was happening in Philadelphia. It was like a hotbed that would go by train into New York, a feeder of experimental theater. And Villanova University became that. Albert Inarritu was there, who was the Transfiguration of Benno Blimpie. David Rabe was from there. He did Streamers and the Basic Training of Pablo Hummel, which Al Pacino was in on Broadway. Jim Croce, the folk singer, went there. This was a hotbed. So I was in a high school, like I said, about a quarter, half mile from the campus. So my theater teacher came from that, got a master's degree at Villanova University, came to my high school, and Brian Morgan took over the theater department and saw me there and suggested that I audition for a play, John Proctor in the Crucible. Brian was rotund, had a big beard, and of the time always had some kind of a headband. Headband. Because A, it's countercultural. B, he was so intense he could sweat from just thinking. So I auditioned as John Proctor, and he said, "There's something inside of you." And I said, like, "What?" He cast me as John Proctor in The Crucible. But at that time, I was really sort of fighting the man, you know? I was really fighting the man. And I had to go to all these rehearsals. And he would do these things. Like, today, we're going to improvise on Act 2, Scene 2. I didn't even know what was in Act 2 and Scene 2. I'd read the play once, okay, because you're supposed to read through it. But I didn't know what I was doing, really. And then, well, there was a thing where I was in the lunchroom and I was helping paint banners for the homecoming game. And they ran up to me and said, "Tom, you're late for rehearsal." And I said, "I'll be there in a second." And they said, "Brian said if you're late, if you don't come right now, you're out of the play." I wanted to be in the play. But I couldn't just go if somebody told me to go. I was incapable, man. Do you understand what I mean? I mean, I was painting a sign. I didn't care about the sign. I hated the football team. I hated everything about this place. All I wanted to be was out of there. But they said, you have to come right now or you're out of the play. So I dipped my brush and kept painting. And I was fired from the Crucible. And I thought that was my career. I thought my acting career was over. The next play they did was an adaptation of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. Will you look at the size of me? Frankenstein, the play, like the novel, is not like the movie, just a horror thing with a guy like this. It's about rage, about the loneliness, the longing of this creature, this inhuman assembly of parts that's just so full of longing that it turns into rage and he kills Dr. Frankenstein and everything. So I auditioned for the play. I said, what the heck? I'm just going to audition. The guy hates me anyway, but I'm just going to audition for the play. I auditioned as the creature. He said, there's something inside of you. There's a rage in there. There's something. I got cast as the creature in Frankenstein. Okay, this time I really read the play, and I was prepared to improvise things. But we were doing very, very experimental theater stuff. And I had long meetings with Brian, with the headband, talking about longing and rage. They said, Tom, I think that there's so much that he has inside of him that he can't even communicate it. Think about a very, very pronounced stutter, a speech impediment. I cannot talk. So I did it. I did it. He said, we're going to have you born on stage. The creature will actually come to life in front of the audience. It will be a blackout. And Tom will be there in a fetal hump on the stage. And Dr. Frankenstein will come out, and somehow we have to bring him to life. So they went to the physics teacher. Is there a way to have electrical impulse, like go into a body or something, like it would be in a movie? And the physics teacher first said, of course, Tom, I haven't seen you in class for 6 months. And I said, I'm doing a different thing now. I'm not paying attention to, like, the man, you know? Yeah, you give me whatever grade you want, like it counts for anything. But the physics teacher said, if you line the inside of a jacket in aluminum foil, all of your arms, aluminum foil, your back, aluminum foil, if you hit him with this, he brings out this cattle prod looking thing. He says, you plug this in, and it's used for science experiments in order to simulate an explosion. It has like a stainless steel ball at the end of it, and he holds it against some metal, and I mean, an electrical arc goes into the thing. I don't think I'm doing that. He says, no, it's perfectly safe. You just line your arms, aluminum foil everywhere, inside the jacket, and everything will be fine. Everything will be fine. Cut to, the play's about to open. I was the kid that was absent from school all the time, but now I'm getting to be the wise guy because the man doesn't control me. And I say what I want. So I was getting in trouble for saying too much, especially with athletes, especially with the big thuggy, like, black guys that were in my school. Who were saying, Tom, I'm going to kick your ass. I'm going to kick your ass. I'm going to wait. I'm going to see when I can. I'm going to kick your ass. When they're not looking, when you're not looking, when you saw, I'm going to kick your ass. I'm going to kick your ass. So that's the play begins. The black guys who are going to kick my ass are in the audience. They come to the show in order to do something after the play. I don't know what. I am my fetal hulk. And the guy, Richard, who's playing Dr. Frankenstein, he walks out, and we've adapted a piece from Dante's Inferno that he is supposed to actually recite as he's coming onto the stage. I wrote it down so I could read it. I can read it as him. Okay, I'm holding a cattle prod, okay? It's pitch black. I felt so cool. I was in an actor's workshop. It was like glow tape everywhere. Just like, wow, actors do this. Look, it's glow tape. So you can see and not walk off the edge of the stage. So anyway, Richard walks out with the cattle prod. The creature, eminent in beauty, once before me stepped and made me pause. If he were beautiful as he is hideous now, and yet did dare to scowl upon his maker. He turns the thing on, goes right into my arm. The aluminum foil does not work at all. At all. This is not a wintertime shock touching a doorknob. This is one of those that was wrong shocks around an electrical socket. But it was a great revelation to me that I would have a career as an actor, because I heard almost from out of my body, I reacted in character. I surprised myself. I didn't go, get off! I went, Dah! He keeps reading the introduction. He's coming up my arm. So in the beginning of Frankenstein, the monster is actually trying to wave away what is giving him life. So we finally started the play with me going, and I was really good. I mean, I felt everything. And I stuttered everything. And I was talking against the power, man, and the teachers and everything. They will suffer as I have suffered. And I kill Dr. Frankenstein, I kill Mrs. Frankenstein, I kill the maid. Allison was the maid. She cried during the play, and that means you're a great actress. I killed everyone in the play, even the girl who cried, which you know, you're good. And we finished the play. The next day, I'm walking down the hallway at the school, and a bunch of big black guys, all the football players, are walking towards me. They all stop and go, hey,
Frankie!
Yo, it's Frankie! And that was only the beginning of electrocution, latex makeup, and humiliation in my illustrious and marginal career.
Tom Wilson!
Well, I'm on my way home now. I'm driving home in a little pattering of rain. It's still a little bit wet across over the hill and back to my home in the San Fernando Valley, or El Valle de San Fernando, which is through canyons from the UCB Theater. I'm gonna put it up. I'm not even gonna listen to it. I feel it's a gut-wrenching nervousness that tells me, don't do it, Tom. But hey, the podcast is pretty raw. That's what I've been doing on the podcast, just kind of recording this stuff and putting it out there. And people who don't like it, they're very clear about their not liking it. And people who like it they've been pretty clear about liking it. So I'm putting it up there. And I forgot. You know what? I'm gonna put a song up. So stick around, because here's a song.
Well, hello, everyone. This is George Orwell, the novelist. Maybe you've read my books or were forced to read them in eighth grade by really, really bad English teachers with corduroy jackets and patches over the elbows. I have no idea why they wore those jackets, but yes, indeed, we have to admit they did. Maybe their elbows were on the desk a whole lot, but yes, I wrote Animal Farm in 1984. Here's the thing. I didn't want you to experiment trying to put both into practice at the same time. You guys are getting a little crazy with this. Anyway, when I'm not dead or writing incredibly accurate novels of the future, I'm listening to the Big Pop Fun podcast with Tom Wilson.
Celebrity voice impersonated.
When I'm driving my kids down the highway, a roadside around every bend, everybody is tired and hungry, and I don't have much money to spend. When it's late and I need somewhere open, when the kids plead in one whining voice, when my brain is upended, my taste buds suspended, and it looks like I don't have a choice, we eat at Denny's. We're desperate people with no options. Eat a Grand Slam breakfast with some mystery meat under such beautiful lighting. Oh, we eat at Denny's. My wife will have a garden salad, please. Thin, tasteless liquid that you call blue cheese on a leaf of iceberg lettuce. We've got menus and piles of crayons, three waters and one dirty fork, paper placemats of good-looking entrees, but my soda tastes something like pork. We smile and look for our server, but I wonder if anyone cares. I don't want to mention, but we need some attention. I think we are the only ones there. It's Denny's. Kids spilling root beer and having fun. I give them quarters to go buy some gum as I wave in desperation. You know what? Check, please. It's Denny's. Kids sucking sugar off their dirty thumbs. Our vinyl booth is full of ancient crumbs. And the waitress speaks Spanish. Mas agua porque mi niños. Lo siento por la mess that they made. Por favor, ay, 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 don't charge me for the pie. I ordered it, but it never came. No thanks, I don't want a refill. Kids, put on your jackets, I bark. Gracias, no, no, we don't want it to go. I think that gravy could glow in the dark. We're leaving Denny's. Tip the señorita, pay the check. The cashier's got a tattoo on his neck. I think it's giving me the finger. Oh, oh, we're leaving Denny's. Kids in the backseat start to settle down till their intestines start creating sounds that makes me roll down the windows. Oh, what a place. 3 weeks later, I still taste when we ate at Denny's.
Thanks so much for listening. If you hung in there for the song, if you hung in there through the UCB Theater, hey, thanks to DC Pearson. Thanks to everybody at the UCB Theater. I hope you enjoyed a little seat of the pants storytelling. And thanks for being here. Please consider telling a friend or subscribing to the podcast. Thanks to Emily Wilson for all the production work. Thanks to Chris, Katie, everybody over at Nerdist. Thanks to McPherson Guitars for helping me out with the live show. Thanks, but always, hey, thanks to you. I will, I'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Nerdist.com